Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life, with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life, with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
San Bonani, I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Joining me once again is Kate Pater and Duncan Mabuso. Welcome to you both.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Kate. Hey, Gary. Hello, people.
Kate's good. Duncan has the best laugh on Cliff Central.
Agreed.
Your claim to fame.
I think second after Kate's.
Oh, well, let's see about that.
Okay, so today's show is about I do to all things weddings. Did you know that, Kate?
Well, that's quite apt.
Yep. With the annual National Wedding Expo, which is coming up next week. I don't know if it's an annual one. I think it's twice a year. But in any case, we've decided to jump on the wedding bandwagon, and we're going to talk about all things matrimonial. Joining us live in studio today is the owner and founder of the Wedding Expo, Amanda Cunningham. Welcome to you, Amanda.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, Carly Collins. She's a wedding specialist who owns South African School of Weddings.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here as well. On the legal side, we have attorney Marisa Kurtz. She's from Clark's Attorneys, Johannesburg. She specializes in family and personal law. Am I right?
Correct.
Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Also in studio, we have a gorgeous couple. They are Storm and Cara.
Hey.
Hi, how's it going?
How's it? You recently decided to tie the knot. You were recently engaged. Your love story and plans for the very special future date are going to be discussed today. We look forward to that.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Later, we'll be talking to Jonathan Rasson, a chartered accountant and master tax practitioner, on financial matters for newlyweds. Interesting show.
Which is really good advice to take. So listen up.
Yeah. If you want to join with us, our phone number 0861-555-189. You can message us or tweet us. If you're listening on the Cliff Central app, send us a message.
Yep. That's it.
Have we given our Twitter address, Kate?
Or you can get us on Twitter at Hertzlaw, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W.
Cool. Let's talk to Amanda Cunningham. She's the owner and founder of The Wedding Expo, which is Africa's biggest bridal show. How many people are you expecting in next week?
We have between 10 and 12,000 visitors who come through the show in the 2 days. And yeah, we run 4 shows a year. So we have 2 in Johannesburg, a show in March and August. And then we've got Cape Town in June. And we've got Durban in August as well.
Okay, so we have a lovely couple in studio. They're getting married soon. They want to come to the expo. What can they expect to see there? Can they arrange their whole wedding there?
The whole wedding.
What so you got
I'm
there?
Not sure. When did you get engaged?
In Jan. In January. Yeah.
They're still sparkling. Okay, so
Come on, flash the ring around. So, you know, honestly, you can arrange absolutely every aspect of your wedding from the wedding expo. Dresses, suits, honeymoons, rings,
awesome.
Wedding rings, flowers, cakes, venues, legal, absolutely everything is there. Every category is catered for. So that you, and with over 250 exhibitors, you really need to spend a good morning or a little bit longer there to be able to see every stand. You know, if you're going to spend 5 or 10 minutes with every stand, you need a lot of time to get around there.
Sure.
So it's worth planning a day there, seeing our fashion theater. So we have a fantastic fashion theater that every 15 minutes there is either a fashion show or a talk on how to do flower arranging or your legal contracts or financial advice. Everything is there, and you can spend a whole day just sitting listening to the theater. It's all included in the ticket, so it's well worth coming through.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What are the ticket prices?
Ticket prices, if you buy at the door, are 120 Rand. But if you buy online and you go through ticketpro.com, then they are 100 Rand per person.
Sounds well worth it.
Yeah, it does.
Give us an idea of the exhibitors' names, if you want to.
We've got fantastic exhibitors. So probably our largest section of exhibitors are venues. You know, obviously that's a very important part of the wedding. So we've got venues, and we've got the bridal gowns.
Sorry, Amanda,
gowns.
When you talk venues, what's it mainly, hotels or?
Hotels and smaller boutique hotels. Yeah. So you've got the larger chains. There's De Hoek Country Lodge, which is a fantastic five-star establishment. Mm. And in fact, they're giving a wonderful prize away to a lucky visitor. we have a tabletop competition, which either the coordinators, the decor coordinators get involved in, or the venues. And De Hoek will be giving away to the person who chooses the best-looking tabletop. They'll be giving away a night at the hotel for one lucky couple.
Oh, wow.
There are fantastic prizes. There are, when I tell you, hundreds of thousands of rands worth of goods to be won at the Wedding Expo. So almost every stand, I would say, runs a competition, and it's well worth putting your name in. You really do stand a good chance to win everything from honeymoons to dresses to suits to the venue to cakes to everything.
Awesome. Who comes there? Is it just the bride and her mom, or is it the bride and groom?
We've seen a change. You know, I've been doing this now for, I think this is my 16th year.
Yeah.
And when it started, it was very much the bride and her parents who came through. And in the last 3 to 4 years, we've seen a very big change. You know, the young couple are now very involved in paying for this wedding. It's not all about mum and dad who are footing the bill. And so the young couple are very involved in it, and as is the groom, very, very involved. And they like to know what color scheme they're getting. They're not just going to be told they're pitching up on the day.
Look so terrified about that.
You are looking a little pale, I must say.
Sure.
But the men are very involved, and they want to be involved in every aspect of it now. So they don't want to know the dress. That is the one big surprise element they definitely don't want to know yet. But they do want to know, what kind of invitations are we doing? Are we doing very personalized, individually cut out invitations? Are we going with a very, the old traditional, you know, raised printed invitation? There are so many options available today on that. You know, it's not like when my parents got married, when there was a white cake and an embossed invitation, and that was really what you got.
And it was fruitcake covered in marzipan.
It was so fruitcake covered in marzipan. And I don't think I've seen a fruitcake covered in marzipan for a very long time.
Well, I think it's quite fine that those have been relegated to Christmas
time. I agree. And cakes are still a big, big trend for this year. Naked cakes were very in last year, so that was a cake that had no real sort of icing around it, and it was all layered and lots of delicious things sort of coming out the centers of the different layers. And flavored cakes. You know, there's no reason why you can't have a chocolate cake and a red velvet and a vanilla cake and a something else, and all in different layers. Mm. There's no right reason why you can't have any of that.
Well, and these days with everybody's food intolerances, I know my wedding cake, the one had to be dairy-free, the other one had to be gluten-free. And then some of us got a normal piece of cake.
Exactly.
Talk to us about sponsors. Who have you got?
We've got wonderful sponsors. So on the Fashion Theatre itself, we've got Colab, who have two products there. They've got Colab Hair and Wet n Wild, the beauty makeup. We've got My Way, who are sponsoring the Fashion Theatre Cafe. So whilst you're sitting watching the workshops, you can have a cup of coffee, you can chat to them about financial services, and that's going to be a fantastic little fun area to be in. The cake challenge, we have a cake challenge at the show this year. We have a novice and a professional section, and that has been sponsored by South Bakels. And if anybody out there is a novice or a professional and still wishes to enter the competition, please just drop us an email and we can make a plan for that. And so we've got some wonderful people involved with us. And as I say, we've got so many exhibitors who run competitions on their stands. And they're very, very generous, all of those exhibitors.
Are the exhibitors booked out? Is there still place for anyone?
There are some spaces, yes. Yeah. So if anybody is interested, they just need to they can email me, which is amanda@theweddinggroup.co.za. And any general inquiries, they're welcome to drop us a line.
Excellent. Just give the dates and times of the expo, please.
The expo is open between 9 and 5 daily. The Fashion Theatre opens at 10 o'clock each day. And
which days are these you're talking?
Saturday and Sunday, the 12th and 13th of March.
Excellent. Mm. Now, what about our young, we'll come back to you, Amanda, thank you. Mm. Our young engaged couple, are you going to this one, Storm and Cara?
No, we'll definitely
definitely,
go.
Definitely.
I think the idea of winning something is great.
Definitely.
Well,
I think
why don't we start off with winning something right now? And we would very much like to give you two tickets to the show.
Awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Very nice of you. That's good. Oh, fantastic. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk to the two of you. You're definitely going now because you're getting the free tickets.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
How long have the two of you been or known one another and been dating? How long has it been?
Well, we've known each other for 10 years and we've been dating for about 9 years. So
yeah, it'll be 9 years this year.
Yeah.
So how old are the two of you?
24.
And 25.
Okay, so you started out very young, didn't you?
Yeah. High school sweethearts.
Okay, so let's talk about how you got engaged. Where did that happen?
Wow, in Bali. So beautiful.
10 points right there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cara, did you know you were going to get proposed to?
No, not at all. I thought maybe we were going on a trip from Bali to Thailand. I had no idea, no clue that he was actually going to propose. But he actually went missing for about 2 hours.
What do you mean he went missing?
We woke up and he said, no, he's just stepping out to get some air. Yeah. And he landed up missing for 2 hours.
Were you
waiting.
I mean, were you worried about him? Or were you?
A little bit. And, you know, you can't just phone one another in Bali. So we all had to wait for him in the down in the like hall of the hotel.
Did you go to the management and tell them that your boyfriend had gone missing?
No, we all just waited for him.
Yeah. The whole thing is I was picking flowers, I was organizing things with the manager, I was in a little bit of a frantic panic. I was on the scooter in Bali going here to there.
You could have at least said you were going for a swim or a jog or something.
Yeah.
Slightly more plausible excuse than a 2 hour 100%. Cigarette.
So you were arranging this whole proposal, weren't you, in the 2 hours?
Yeah, you see, well, in November, it was our anniversary, and I gave her a box where it had a padlock on it, and she wasn't allowed to open it, and I knew that she had to keep it with her within an hour's reach of her at all times. So she brought it with to Bali, and that day I was filling that box with flowers, writing notes in it, and in the note was, "Will you marry me?" And at sunset at a place called The Rock Bar, I organized for one of the managers or the waiters to actually bring it through, and they put a flower in her hair, and I did the whole one knee, got my knee dirty. So,
and you did, you went through all that, all the formalities?
Yes, no, 100%. Asked her dad for a hand in marriage, did everything right.
Cara, you didn't know anything about this. You didn't know it was on its way, the proposal, did you?
No, and I mean, we went there for sundowners, so I'm busy taking photos of the sunset, and he's like, "Are you still going to carry on taking photos?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, we came here for the sunset." And when I put my phone down, the waitress came and handed me my box, and I was so shocked. And
did you think there was a ring in it at that point?
No, I thought it was like, we're so young. I didn't really expect a proposal. I thought maybe we were going on a trip to Thailand. So when, my heart sank. I literally just got so shaky, opened the box. There was a note, "Will you marry me?" I looked at him. I just couldn't speak. I was speechless. And he got on one knee. And I couldn't even say yes. I was like just so speechless, so shocked.
She did say yes, by the way.
Now, the ring you chose, Storm, and Cara knew nothing about it?
No. I've always known that she'd wanted the Protea ring, the Protea diamond ring. And yeah, so I went out and got it for her.
I've got some good news for you. Urban legend has it that couples who get together in Bali stay together forever.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a good legend.
Which is good news, isn't it?
That or an excellent tourism marketing.
Sure.
Proposing in Bali is probably the best thing one can do. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. It's stunning.
Were your parents there when the proposal happened, or either of you?
No. We actually went with a whole group of friends. Yeah. So,
did your... Cara, did your parents know that he was going to propose?
Yeah, he obviously asked them before.
And they didn't let on? They didn't tell you a thing?
No.
So it was my parents and her parents were the only people that knew. Yeah.
Okay, so when is the big wedding date?
Oh, 2017.
Yeah, got a year.
We've got a year. No date yet. So we've still got a whole year to plan.
Okay, the good start for you is at the wedding expo, isn't it?
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What do you do for a living, Cara?
I work for my dad. He has a crane hire company, and I do the admin for that.
Okay. And what about your fiancé?
I'm going to start in real estate shortly. Yeah, I'm very excited.
You and Donald Trump. do you figure you're going to make a lot of money in your time?
I definitely hope to. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, are you, he's one of those kind of guys that's driven to. Are you money driven?
Yeah? Yes. Yeah? Very driven.
I mean, have you, as a boy, did you ever sell lollipops or anything to raise extra money? Or?
Yes, popcorn and shirts. And funny things.
Okay,
like
so
that.
You've got that spirit to make money. Yeah. It's very important because when the two of you ultimately get married, you'll have to know beforehand what your rights are.
Yeah.
Your legal rights. Do you know anything about that? I mean, do you know anything about the antenuptial contract? Do you know how you should get married? What you should protect? Your daddy's your daddy's got his own business. You may inherit a lot of money. These are things you need to consider.
That's it.
So you've thought of the wedding dress, haven't you, Cara? And maybe the venue, but you haven't thought of your legal position.
Well, no. It's not the most romantic thought when you're in sort of the first blush of that excitement and everything. It. Right, well, what's mine if we get divorced?
Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps not the most appropriate question.
Yeah.
Well, these are things you have to consider.
Of course.
And that's why, as a law show, we've brought a specialist lawyer on the line in the studio, Marisa Kurtz, of Clark's Attorneys. So we're going to talk to you about how they, you know, what they should know. So let me ask you this question. People come into your office and they say, we are about to get married, assuming it's your very, very best girlfriend, okay?
Yeah.
Individually, she comes without her fiancé. What advice do you give her?
Look, then it depends if she then mandates me as her attorney, then my responsibility will lie towards her as my client.
Okay.
And I would give her advice in accordance with whatever her sort of situation is. You know, like you said, for example, if she's got a father with a family that she would inherit from, or if her husband is going to make a lot of money one day, I would base my advice on that in her sort of interest. If, however, both...
Do you think that people should come together to one attorney or each should seek his own or her own legal advice?
Look, my advice is always to err on the side of caution. It's a very important contract and people do not understand the amount of litigation that goes about the antenuptial contracts at the end of the day. Both, like you said, I mean, you don't want to think about divorce, but it's not just divorce. It's upon, you know, death of the parties as well.
Yes.
So it is a very important contract. My view is you can go to attorneys jointly, but then also just have a short, just the checks and balances with your own legal advisors. And we would usually give parties the names of sort of, you know, great family lawyers in the business and say, look, here's your draft. Go to them and just take an hour's of advice. Say, look, this is what they drafted. And look what the advice would be skewed in your favor. Because when I see both parties together, I cannot advise the one above the other.
Yeah.
Because they're both my clients.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously young couples, this is the last thing they think about. They think about the beauty of a wedding and the love that's involved, as our guests do. Mm. Unfortunately, this is something we have to consider, as we would a will. Doesn't mean that if you're drafting a will, that you're going to die.
Correct.
But you just got to consider it. Yes. Okay, so there we all know there are three different ways you can get married. The one is in community of property. The one is by antenuptial contract.
Correct.
Out of community of property. And the other is antenuptial contract with accrual.
Correct.
Those are the three things. So let's unpack all three very briefly. In community of property, that means there's no contract. What in effect does that mean if they get divorced?
In effect, it means there's a joint pot. Everything is in that pot. Your debts as well as your assets, your inheritances, your any and everything you can think of is in that pot. And it also binds one another. So let's say, for example, you said you're going into real estate. If you want to open up your own firm, the problem with in community of property, in my opinion, is then you open your wife up to liabilities for your business because it's all in community of property. You buy a home for your children to live in, and that home is subject to, let's say your business goes down. It is subject to be included in that sequestration.
Okay, so let's take it slowly. Whatever we make together or individually goes
into the same pot.
So if assuming Cara makes a fortune of money, that goes in the pot. The husband doesn't make much money. It doesn't matter. It's just whatever's there
will be 50-50.
If they should, God forbid, get divorced, then the money is split between them.
Correct.
Is that how it works?
The net asset value of the joint estate will be split. There is no her assets and liabilities and his. There is only one set, which okay. is the joint estate.
And if Scott should go insolvent and they married in community of property, that means they lose the lot because the creditors will take whatever's in the pot.
Correct.
So this is a very, very dangerous way of getting married, and that only happens if you do not have an antenuptial contract.
Correct.
So if you just go into court or into church and you get married by operation of law, you are married in community of property.
Yes, you are. And I think that in particular when you're young, like our couple here, you sort of think, well, we have nothing now, so if we get married, what does it matter? We'll share anything anyway. For couples that think about getting married with the accrual system, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you're also opening each other up to liability. So my advice would still be, even if you have nothing now,
yeah.
protect each other, go to an attorney, get an antenuptial contract.
The majority of South Africans are married in community of property because yeah. they do not have the wherewithal to even get an antenuptial contract.
Yeah.
What's the average cost of an antenuptial contract?
Look,
roughly.
Look, that depends on the complexity and it depends on the attorney.
Typically a lawyer answer. Wow. It depends.
Yeah, well, we have to protect ourselves, you know.
What are we talking, roughly 5,000?
Look, yeah, I've heard attorneys do it for 5,000. I've heard attorneys do it for 30,000. You know, you can imagine if someone who's quite wealthy gets married for the second or the third time, there's a much more complex estate planning with that antenuptial contract.
Yeah.
But a basic contract, I mean, certainly there's no reason why it should be a costly affair.
Okay, so we've dealt with in community of property. Now we deal with out of community of property, which means an antenuptial contract.
Correct.
You have to sign one. Antenuptial means prior to the nuptial, prior to
Very
the wedding.
Very important.
It's got to be signed before.
Yes.
If you don't sign it before, you've got to apply to court.
Correct.
And you've got to tell the judge why you didn't and et cetera. Yes. It's
and
a whole
inform
business.
Inform all of your creditors. It becomes and a very expensive process
it,
as
it
well.
It really does. And on that, I mean, I've just finished a case where parties got married and said, oh, we forgot to sign the antenuptial contract. Let's just cancel the first marriage.
It doesn't really
and
work
do it
that
again.
Way. Hey.
And they signed an antenuptial contract, got married a second time, and obviously, you know, upon divorce, the question became, well, the first marriage, you know, it was a valid marriage.
Yes.
And so they were married in community of property. Mm. Obviously, in our version, the matter settled, so there was no decision by a judge on that, but... it literally has happened where people go, oh, we'll just cancel this first thing.
Yeah, it's
not. Yes, we'll just get another marriage.
It doesn't work.
We'll do it next weekend instead.
I do want to be clear. There's a difference between getting married and the registration of the marriage. The piece of paper is not it. The getting married is the it.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on now. They come to an attorney. They want to do an antenuptial contract.
Mm.
Do they do one with accrual? That's the million-dollar question. Or without accrual? And what is accrual?
All right. So, look, out of community of property is something that you choose in the antenuptial contract. From there, your choices are with or without the accrual system. Without the accrual means what's mine is mine and what yours is yours. And that is where it ends. So whether we stay together, whether we get divorced, whether, one of the parties passes away, what is yours and what is his, and there will never be an equalizing of that.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of people, and this was after 1984, a lot of people felt that there was a sort of disproportion with that. You had no choice. It was either in or out. Mm-hmm. So with the accrual system, what that means is the two of you can, in the contract, decide, look, we're going to share what is fair to share. And in that, you can exclude what you already own. So let's say, for an example, you have an asset value at the moment of 100,000 rand and you have an asset value of 200,000 rand. You can exclude that at this point in the antenuptial contract to protect the wealth that you have created for yourself by yourself.
Okay, let's go slowly.
Yeah.
Storm is going to make a lot of money in the property business. He's going to be worth, in 5 years' time, 10 million.
Okay.
Which may not be worth money then, but we'll... we hope it will.
Okay. You didn't say which currency.
His beautiful wife is going to be at home looking after the kids.
All right.
Things don't work out. They get divorced. The one is worth 10 million. The one is worth nothing. There's no accrual. What does that mean?
That means she walks away with nothing.
And he walks away with his
and
10
And he
million.
Walks away with his 10
This
million.
Kind of contract is generally done probably when they're older folk that get married.
Correct.
A multimillionaire man who's marrying a poppy who's 30 years his junior. They get married.
or
someone like me.
Yes. Or an older woman, Kate? Marrying somebody without anything.
Yeah. Okay. So then he provides that what's his is his and what's hers is hers. If they do get divorced, he takes everything and she gets nothing. That's a straight antenuptial contract.
Correct.
Now, with the accrual system, that's generally for younger couples, not necessarily, where they're starting out together on base level.
Correct.
Basically, they both got zilch
or
little. And they're saying whatever we earn and make together becomes part of our estate. Is that...
Well... What it is it actually is a deferred in community. If you start with nothing, you would, in your antenuptial contract, have no exclusions and you would have no commencement value. Mm. So you wouldn't say, look, I want to keep these assets away from everything. You would then say in future, okay, I have made, for the example you gave, I have made a million and you have made nothing. But when we walk out of this, we want to be fair. Particularly, I feel if there are children involved, one should have a balance between the two homes and a balance between the two estates. Mm. And that is what the accrual system says. Whatever has accrued during the duration of the marriage gets shared on an equal basis. What that means is half the difference between the two estates would be split. So let's say in your example, there was a zero balance, but let's say he has 10 million and she has 5 million.
Mm.
The difference between the two is 5 million and half the difference would be 250,000.
Two and a half million.
So he would pay you that, which brings up your estate to 7.5 and brings his down to 7.5, meaning you both walk away with equal.
Okay, so the advice that we should give to younger couples who are kind of starting out afresh, like our couple in studio, is get married with the accrual system so that if anything, if it doesn't work out, you both accrued things together, even though he made the money and she stayed at home.
No, that's correct. Right. And that in particular would be my advice if parties would want to have children.
Yeah.
Because in that interest, for me, the best interest of the child would be you cannot go from a home with 10 million rand to a home with nothing. It is not, it's a disparity that the accrual system allows for.
Yeah.
But it does go further than that and allows you to protect the wealth that you made by yourself, and it also protects you in terms of the the creditors coming knocking at both of your doors.
Okay, so that's very important.
Yeah.
They're married by antenuptial contract, with or without accrual, makes no difference. What happens if one of them gets into debt? The creditors can't go against the other.
Correct. Because your accrual claim only vests upon dissolution of the marriage.
Yeah.
During the marriage, you are protected that if some... I mean, it depends on what contracts you sign, but
generally
speaking,
you
would be protected. So let's say his business goes under, she wouldn't be... she would be protected from that. And so if, let's say, the matrimonial home was registered in her name, they wouldn't be able to touch it.
Very briefly, you often have an objection from the husband...
Yes.
To be, who says, hold on, I'm the guy that's going to make the big money because you're going to stay home. I'm some hotshot property developer, so I'm against an accrual. I think you know I'm going to make the money, so bad luck. And that's where the
great jostling. Marriage counselor,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes. or premarital counselor, because if that's starting already, perhaps there won't be a marriage.
Unfortunately,
we have had this in our offices.
We have had that.
We see this all the time, where there's a lot of arm wrestling on these things. It becomes a bit unpleasant.
And I've had parties call off the engagement, and it's such a sad thing. But at the end of the day, you have to. This is a contract. You have to see eye to eye on it in some way or another. And I feel that, you know, if you're going to get married, you're going to spend your life together, best you both get on the same page.
This has been this is so interesting, the legal side. We're going to progress a little more. Let's break now. When we come back, we're also going to talk to an accountant on how we should set up our financial affairs. Do we buy the house in joint names, all that kind of stuff? So
also
something to look forward to.
Very important. Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861 276 453.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg with Kate Pater, and we're assisted by Duncan Mabaso, our engineer. Kate, you enjoying this one?
Absolutely. Talking weddings and talking law. There you go. Law actually applies to absolutely every single thing you do every single day.
There's something we haven't covered. What about couples living together? That's interesting, and it's happening so often.
Yep.
Because they don't go to the wedding expo. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is true.
What's the legal position there on split, assuming they buy a whole lot of things? They buy a house together, furniture, etc. Where do they
look at the moment? There's a great lacuna in our law when it comes to that. There is a domestic partnership bill that's been in the works for forever. The bottom line is, and I can't say this with less clarity, there is no common law marriage in South Africa. None. It doesn't exist. It is not a concept. And so if you live with someone, the best advice I can give you legally, as much as it's not romantic, is get a cohabitation agreement. Mm. Most lawyers who specialize in family law, they know how to draft them. If you're going to buy a house together, make sure it's split in the correct way. Make sure that you pay it in the correct manner that you want to have the split. And the bottom line just is that there is no de facto protection that you get in law when you're just living with someone. So you've got to be proactive and actually go out there, get an agreement in place that it'll at least be between you and your partner, it'll be effective.
Have you ever come across any crazy clauses that people want to put into their antenuptial contracts?
I don't think too crazy. I think some sort of, you know, like don't cheat on me. And I think most of the time the craziest things that we see is how, unfortunately, a lot of attorneys draft them. Yeah. I will see things like everything that the parties owned at date of marriage is excluded. What does that mean? I don't know. It's hilarious as attorneys, but I don't think other people find it funny, but I find it hilarious. I don't understand what that means. So I think therein more, I've found some really oddly drafted.
I saw something very funny. I saw that, you know who Keith Urban is, Kay?
Yes. Yes. Mm.
And Nicole Kidman, they married. Their prenup, according to Buzz.com, nets Urban about $640,000 for every year that he's with her.
Good Lord.
There's reportedly a clause in the prenup that says that if he, who's a former cocaine abuser, apparently, if he uses illegal drugs, he will not receive a cent from Nicole Kidman.
A penalty clause.
I think he's also worth millions, but she's apparently worth $150 million, so he won't get a cent from her.
Well, I think we've all seen those ridiculous American movies. I mean, something that springs to mind is like Maid of Honor, where they're circling the block outside the church and both of them are in the limo with the attorneys agreeing on how many blowjobs and how much weight and how many times they're going to have sex every week.
Of course not.
So, I mean, look, these things aren't ludicrous, and they are based in your best interest. So that's the thing, is you're marrying somebody you love. You both have a duty to one another and yourselves to actually protect everybody's interests in as much as possible before something goes wrong.
Do you remember that great movie with George Clooney with the messy prenup? Intolerable Cruelty.
That was that? It. Yeah.
Yeah, he bragged about his prenup in the movie. Mm. Do you know that he's married to that beautiful lawyer?
Yes, human rights lawyer, Amal Clooney now. Yeah. So there we go.
I read somewhere that she refused to sign a prenup with him.
She is a clever lady.
Yeah. And their marriage is reportedly not so hot at the moment. So if they do break up, she gets half of everything. Of his.
Well, that was
everything that he's earned since they got married in Italy, which could be a lot.
Since they got married in Italy. That's what she'll get. Not
everything.
Beforehand.
She'll get half of everything that he's made since. I think she also makes a lot of money as well. Okay, let's talk to someone who knows all about the finances for people that are getting married. Jonathan Rousson. Jonathan?
Gary, how are you?
Hi, good to talk to you. Jonathan's a chartered accountant and master tax practitioner in Johannesburg. Right. Jonathan?
Gary?
You can hear me?
Firstly, I think you're reading too much People magazine.
I think you told me this lot of rubbish. Okay, so Jonathan, couples come to you, they're getting married. Let me throw a few questions out. Do they put the house in their in a joint name? All the financial stuff. Give us some advice. We've got a young, beautiful couple in studio. They need help.
Okay. Well, firstly, I always feel bad about talking about tax to newly married couples because you've got all the love in the air and I'm mentioning all these boring topics. So I apologize in advance.
Okay. Yeah, we accept it. You just give us the advice. Yeah.
Secondly, I think it's important just to start off to say that to newly married couples, and they probably know that when you get married, the wife and the husband keep their income tax numbers. It's not like many years ago where when you got married, the wife's income tax number would cease to exist and would all be on the husband's tax number. We've come out of that era a long time ago, and so while it's a simple thing, a lot of people still don't understand that by getting married, you don't lose your individual tax number. They are taxpayers in their own right. That's just to start off with.
Okay.
Also, it's important to know how they get married, because if you get married in community or property, any interest, dividends, rental income, any passive income that the couple earn in community, it's split half-half. In the one tax return, half goes in, and the other tax return, half goes in, irrespective of whether they in fact earned half of the total. Mm-hmm. So that's important. So if they get married, ANC with accrual or out of community, whatever the legal terms are, then it's normal. Each person earns what they earn, and each one's tax return stays what they're earning. But it's just important to know that, because a lot of people get married, not many, but some get married in community or property, and they don't realize that they're responsible for each person's half of each spouse's passive income. So that's important to know.
Okay.
The other thing is that when it comes to a business that the couples may go in together, you know how it is. They say, let's do a business in our own names, blah, blah, blah. And they go into the business. The Income Tax Act also says that if they married in community and there's no agreement between the two of them on what shares in the partnership they've got, then the rental profits are split equally. So in other words, half-half, just like the interest and the dividends. However, if there is an agreement between the two spouses, listen, we're going into business in our own names, but I'm going to have 80, you're going to have 20, well, then that's fine. Then the one who has 80% pays tax on 80% of the profits, and the one who has 20% pays tax on 20%. But if there's no agreement, then SARS will ask questions like, how much work does each partner do, blah, blah, and then the SARS, the receiver of revenue, will decide on the profit split. So the advice I can give a newly married couple going into business together is have an agreement. Otherwise, the receiver of revenue will tell you what your percentages are.
What about buying a house, Jonathan?
Okay, so buying a house, that's an interesting one. You know, if you get five accountants and five lawyers into a room and ask them the advice about what vehicle you should buy the house in, you're literally going to get 10 different answers. And the reason is because people's perceptions of particularly trusts in South Africa, people's perceptions vary vastly. It's the perceptions are different, the understanding of trusts are different, and there's too much emphasis, I believe, being placed on trust having a very high capital gains tax rate compared to an individual. But to answer it more simply, that it's probably one of the most commonly asked questions that I get asked by newly married couples is they're buying a house, do they buy it in the husband's name? Do they buy it in the wife's name? Do they buy it together? Do they buy it in a company? Or do they buy it in a trust? And it's important before you even answer the question to know the advantages and disadvantages of trusts, irrespective of the tax issues. And just basically, without, I suppose, boring you too much, The advantages of a trust is that nobody owns a trust. Say, if heaven forbid something happens to one of the two spouses, creditors, let's say, nobody can really, well, there are little exceptions, but generally speaking, if a trust owns a property, there's no link between you and the trust. Because all a trust has is people who manage it. There's no owners. So no one can come to you and attach your assets and say, I'm attaching your share in the trust. There is no link. So for asset protection, a trust is excellent. And also, should heaven forbid one of the or both spouses pass away and the trust owns a property, it continues because they don't own it. So continuity is very good. And if you buy a house in a trust today worth $1 million and you live 100 years and it's worth $100 million in 20 years' time, for your estate duty, that $100 million doesn't form part of your estate because you never owned it. It forms part of the trust.
Mm-hmm.
So estate duty, very good. The disadvantages are it costs a bit of money to set up a trust, but that's just a once-off. There's extra admin costs like tax returns, minutes, resolutions, and you lose control because trustees run the trust, not you, even though you may be one of the trustees, but there is an element of lack of control. So the question is, does a newly married couple buy it in a trust? And my answer is just one that I have developed over the years. It isn't an answer that everybody will give you, but my answer is that if it's a newly married couple, they pretty much are going to buy a house, and eventually that house is going to be too small because there's going to be a family, it's going to grow. And a trust is really only used for long-term assets. So my advice for newly married couples is that your first house, buy in your own name, because you're eventually going to sell it very quickly. Hopefully your family will grow. And if you own a house in your own name and you sell it, you get a large capital gain exemption. I won't bore you with the details again.
You say Jonathan, do we buy jointly in the property to be registered in both our names? Is that what you say?
Well, that is not really a tax issue. That is pretty much more of a legal issue. Because if you buy it in your own name, in one own name, and something happens to that one partner, then he's exposed fully. If you put it in your wife's name, because you feel that you're in a business which is subject to risk, and if anybody, heaven forbid, sues you, you don't want them to attach your house, well, then it's better to put in the wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I'm finding these days is that most people are buying it jointly, and if anything happens to the one partner, then at least only half of it's exposed. But, you know, the big planning tool that's always been is to put your house in the wife's name, and because it's normally traditionally the husband that's sort of working, but you know, we're in the modern age, and that doesn't always apply. It may very well be that the wife is working and the husband's staying at home, or, you know, the roles are often reversed.
Sure.
And then it would be better to put it in the husband's name. So it all depends on the situation of the two spouses.
Excellent.
But I would say for their second house or their third house, where it's going to be more of a long-term buy, because now the family's big and they're not having any more kids, I personally would definitely suggest that for that second or third house, to buy it in a trust because of the protection it offers.
Anything else on the financial side? Advice to newlyweds before we let you go?
Well, the advice to newlyweds is when you're buying any investment as a newlywed, I'm assuming you're talking advice from a tax point of view and not any other kind of advice, but from
we'll
a tax
take
point
the other advice.
From your perspective, they wouldn't get married, Jonathan.
Well, you can talk to my mom and you can speak and see what she says.
Okay.
But the thing is, I think my best advice for newlywed couples, I see so many times newlyweds, they are given advice by whoever, and it's all based on tax. But that's not how you should make an investment. Your investment should be whether it's a good investment or not. Once you've made that investment, then say, fine, I've chosen one over two because one's a better investment. Then your next decision is, right, what is the best way to structure it from a tax now that I've picked investment one? But a lot of people pick the one or two based on tax, and that's not really the way to do it. Buy something if it's a good investment, and then maximize the returns from the tax as a secondary aspect. Don't make it your primary decision.
Many thanks to you. Anyone a question, or can we let,
Can I give some advice just on obviously the financial side? In you are in such a fantastic, romantic, beautiful stage right now. You're engaged, and now you're sitting down to plan the wedding. The budget is really, really important, because you can blow the budget on the wedding. And so my advice to any young couple who are starting out is to sit down together, whether that be just the two of you or with your parents, know how much is going into that pot that's going to make up that one day of a wedding, and then allocate it accordingly. And perhaps what you do is you say, I'm going to spend 10,000 rand on the dress, but you see a dress that's 25 and you think, I've got to have the 25,000 rand dress. Mm. Remember, you've got to change the budget somewhere else in order to balance it all out.
Yeah, and that's great advice,
first exercise you've got to do, is to know how much money you're going to spend on your wedding, and know that, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. You know, pass on the things that are going to take too much time and too much money. Have the things that you know are important to you. Know how many people, the numbers of guests at the wedding. Blow the budget. Know exactly what you've got there, because then that'll lead through for the rest of your life. Yeah. Don't start off your first married day so heavily in debt that you can't bear the sight of each other from day one.
Also, the wedding is one day, you know, the marriage is for the rest of your life. So have a fabulous day, but it's a starting point.
Great advice from Amanda Cunningham. She's the owner and founder of The Wedding Expo. To Jonathan Rousson, R-U-S-S-O-N. Are you still around, Jonathan?
I am, Gary.
Okay, when you get married next, just don't blow your budget on the car that's going to drive you there.
Or the bachelor party.
I will take that good advice that's just been given.
Thank you, Jonathan Rousson. Many thanks for your contribution. Let's talk to a guest in studio. She's a very bubbly, marvelous woman. Her name is Kahli, K-A-H-L-I. She had to be clever, or her parents did. Collins.
And it's actually K-H-A-L-I. Spell it how they want to.
Kahli Kahli. She's the owner of South African School of Weddings.
That's correct.
It's a massive business. How many likes on Facebook do you have?
When I checked last, it was probably about 91,000.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Wow.
But we train people throughout Africa, and we have a lot of people come in from all over the world, actually. So it's very much it's courses that people are interested in, whether they want to go into weddings or whether they just want to do something creative. That's what they do.
So tell us about the courses that you run and train people on.
Okay, so with the courses, we don't train people how to get married. We train people how to plan the weddings and do the flowers for the weddings.
You should maybe look into, you know, a course on
well,
on
actually, at the wedding expo, we're going to do, we are going to have launch our train, like a basic course for actually planning your wedding, because a lot of brides need that help. So we're going to do a little workshop for brides getting married. So yeah, but the courses are just for, we do courses in wedding planning, flowers, cake, stationery, draping. So we come from the side of somebody who's wanting to go into the wedding industry, and we found many a time that people going into the industry don't really know what it takes. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of sweat and tears. More tears sometimes.
It's working every weekend. I think that's
we work every weekend. I mean, I have a son of one, and I was back at the office at 12 days old, and my first email went through at two hours after I gave birth.
Yeah.
But you know, it's we train people the realities of business, and there's a lot of small businesses that come out of the school, and it's phenomenal to see the passion.
You've done a lot of wedding planning stuff.
Yes.
What's the biggest wedding you've done or planned?
It wasn't a wedding. It was a vow renewal. It was an 8 million rand vow renewal.
Who spends 8 million? I don't want to know the names.
I can't tell you that.
It was
a Sun City wedding. And we actually, so after that, I got married 2 weeks after. No, I got married a couple of months after.
You made the 7 million in the...
No. Okay. But I did turn... I did actually find out I was in the running for the Gupta wedding, which I'm glad I turned down. Because we actually got that phone call while we were doing that wedding. And when I came back from honeymoon, I realized that...
What did they spend on the wedding?
The
Gupta.
I don't want to know.
So, yes. Okay. You've also had, you've obviously been around when these weddings are held. You plan everything. Any very funny incidents at any weddings that you can remember?
We've always said as wedding suppliers, we want to write a book one day about all the things that happen at weddings. But one that I do remember quite it was amazing.
Vividly,
it was amazing. The groom actually came out. The father of the bride in his speech came out that he was gay. To the whole family.
At the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
It was a surprise to everybody, I'm not going to lie. And everyone kind of looked to the wedding planner and said, well, I'm like, well, it's not my responsibility, you know, it's your dad. Yeah. But yeah, it was, he just found it that it was amped that everybody was in the same room at the same time. And he didn't have to go and tell 10 million stories and everyone tell their own little version. So he said it.
Was his wife there, by the way?
Yes.
In front of his wife,
and his partner.
And his male partner?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
So that was quite
There must have been a lot of gasps and...
Yes, there was. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people had suspected it for a while. I'm sure his wife also did. But, yeah, it was quite an interesting one to have.
I was surprised to hear today that the bride and groom, or future bride and groom, are the ones that go to the expos together. I thought it was always the bride that did just about everything. The guys sit back and wait just for the money side to
Well, at the end of the day, I think a lot of the grooms like to get involved because it's their friends are coming to the wedding and they're going to talk about it on social media and, you know, the photos are going to get posted. So the grooms are a very big part of the wedding and they are paying a portion of the wedding as well, sometimes the majority. So they sometimes have to hone in their brides. And a lot of the times when they're coming to meetings as well, they are there and they are very involved.
Yeah. I've also read some terrible stories about brides being very rude to the planners. One of them says, wedding planner says she was that the bride was so rude to her the day before her wedding that she was pleased when it rained on the wedding day.
Isn't that supposed to be good luck, though?
You know what? I mean, I'll probably get racked over the knuckles for this. There are some brides you look forward to seeing the back end of, but having said that, we do create amazing friendships. I've created amazing friendships with some of my brides. But have you ever had a friend get married or get engaged and they become from a friend to a bride? There's a very big difference. Yeah. And I think that's one thing I always stress to my couples is that it is about one day and it's not. You don't let this planning of this wedding day affect the rest of your life. So like Amanda, I've been with Amanda for a long time. I've been an exhibitor of the Wedding Expo for a long time. I can suggest if you're going to go to the Wedding Expo, and I strongly suggest you do, go in there with, they're going to give you an exhibitor book. Mm. Go in there with a pen and that book, and when you see those people that you like and speak to, mark it down, because sometimes it can get overwhelming and you think, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I don't want to get married or something. Go in and make notes of who you like and who were the suppliers that you felt the best connection with.
And ask lots of questions. Mm. That's why they're there and that's why they're exhibiting, is to promote their businesses and their services. Mm. And you must ask them the questions that you really want to know the answers to. Don't, you know, just take a business card and think, well, that was very pretty. Mm. Ask them what they do, how they do it, what they charge, what they don't provide. That they'll give you the answers.
One other thing. I can also suggest to couples to be honest to your suppliers.
Yes.
A lot of brides are wanting these huge, massive weddings, and you know, we can do how long is a piece of string.
Yeah.
But rather be honest and say, this is what budget I'm trying to fit my flowers in or my cakes in, so that a supplier is not going in and wanting to give you this amazing centerpiece and things like that, but then you're getting disappointed because it's not actually fitting. Rather say, I've got this amount for flowers. And work from there. Let your suppliers work from there.
Okay, that's the voice of Carly Collins. She's a wedding specialist who owns South African School of Weddings. Also a great party and wedding planner, or not party planner.
We don't have time to do parties.
Okay, she's also a big deal as it happens. All right, let's talk to our couple that's getting married next year. Have you enjoyed the show, guys?
Definitely.
Have you got a lot of legal, financial, and wedding advice today? That's 100%. What this is all about.
So much.
Okay, you're a beautiful couple. You may well win the Bride of the Year. You must enter. Not you, Scott. Cara, yes, you're probably going to enter one of those as well.
I don't know, but thank you.
You know, with a lot of makeup and your hair nice, we can...
Oh, Gary.
No, she's hot. She really is. She's beautiful.
You are talking about somebody's future wife.
I'm pleased. He's
my fiance is right next to me.
He wants a hot wife. Obviously, he's going to be a property tycoon. Good luck to you in your career. I hope the two of you do well.
Thank you.
You know about the stat of Bali, so you'll be fine, the two of you. Oh, so marriage is forever, yeah. And you're quite a romantic guy. I like what you did. I think we've learned.
Thank you.
Keep the romance going.
Yeah.
Just next time when you disappear for 2 hours, just tell your girlfriend where you've gone. To our very competent attorney, she's terrific, family law specialist. Introduce yourself and your law firm and your website.
My name is Marisa Kurtz. I am a director at Clark's Attorneys in Sandton. Our website is clarksattorneys.co.za. And if you have any questions, you can obviously email us at admin@clarks.co.za, which is our general email address. And for the rest, I mean, you can look on our website. We don't just deal with the sad things like divorces. We also deal with the great things, you know, international relocations and, you know, parental rights, responsibilities, adoptions, etc. So, you know, whatever your personal law needs are, you can just look up our
firm. If you want to advertise on our show, you're welcome as well. Okay, don't forget, please, the Wedding Expo, and you'll get to meet the very dynamic Amanda Cunningham. She's the owner and founder. You started off how many years ago with two people that came, I think?
I did, that's right. I had one staff member and myself, and we did everything. Yeah. And now we're a big team. And
what do you do the day after the show for the next seven?
We start planning the next one.
It's like Wimbledon, they never stop.
No, no.
Well done, good luck. I hope a lot of people turn out.
Thank you.
Because it's a great event and yeah.
It's a fantastic event. If anybody needs any more information, have a look on our website, wedding-expo.co.za. It lists all the competitions that are being run there, and it's got a lot of information
Kate,
about weddings.
Kate, you want to go and recapture
I've been to the Wedding Expo. I've done my wedding, not doing that one again. And in fact, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary this year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, before we say goodbye, anyone want to say anything? Duncan, my boss, or you've listened very quietly.
I just want to encourage all the lovers out there to go out and keep loving.
and consider anti-nuptial contracts.
Duncan is very in love with his beautiful girlfriend. What's her name, Duncan?
Her name is Palesa and surname Mochele.
Okay. Yeah. Palesa Mochele, you are idolized by Duncan Mabaso.
And you're a very brave woman.
It's official. This podcast goes out to millions of people, so I hope she picks it up, okay? Well done to all. It's been a terrific show. I've enjoyed it. Kate Pater, many thanks to you.
And you.
To Brigitte Meyer, our researcher, many thanks to her. And to all of you, good luck with your weddings and good luck with your shows.
Thanks.
And thank you for being part of the Laws of Life on Cliff Central. Just one last thing before I let you go. If you want to come forward, Kate, and give us a story.
Email us. It's law@cliffcentral.com. Any stories, comments, or things you'd like us to follow up on, let us know.
Good. It's just been established that marriage is the main reason for divorce. No one wants to hear that one. Thank you.
The end of a wedding show.
Thank you for I had to get that. Thank you for listening, all of you. And until next Tuesday at 12 noon, I am Gary Hertzberg.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.